Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, June 10th, 2025. And I'm excited because tomorrow, well, my little Gemini twins, my grandchildren, they're not really twins. My grandson, Bowden, he likes to call himself by his formal name, Bowden. He'll be 5 tomorrow. And Maisie, my granddaughter, will be 4 on Saturday. So this is a big, big week for their family and for them. And Maisie just, I asked Kristen before Memorial Day what would be a good idea for gifts because, you know, she always comes back and says, well, they have everything. They don't need anything. And I say, I'm their grandma. I'm going to get them a gift. So I would really like to get them something they like to have. You know, what do they really like? And not a video game, because Bodie loves video games. And Maisie, she goes, well, Maisie wants everything. And she said, actually, I'll ask him. Well, I never heard back from him. So finally, this last weekend, I was texting with my son for something else. And we had a conversation. And then at the end of the conversation, I said, can you please give me an idea for the kids' birthdays? I mean, they're next week. So he finally got back to me and he said, well, you know, Bo likes dinosaurs, cars, trucks, you know, squirt guns, that kind of thing. And I said, so, and is Maisie still a princess girl? And he goes, oh, that's her whole deal. She loves princesses. So I ended up getting them their presents, but they're going to be here next weekend on the 21st or 22nd, and they'll stay with me for about a week, and then we'll go out for our family reunion in Buena Vista on the 28th. And then that week, they're going to migrate up to like Loveland, where her brother and sister and the kids' cousins live, sister-in-law and their cousins live, and then to Fort Collins, so, and then home. So it works out really well, but I decided even before Jared suggested it, that I'm just going to get their presents here and give them to them when they come, because they will, number one, it'll be fun for them. And number two, I get to see them open their presents. They, as of last year, they have a birthday cake. They each get a birthday cake on their birthday. Prior to that, they were just lumped together because they're 3 days apart. And you know, as they got older, I know Jared thought, you know, that I remember hearing him say to Kristen, he goes, you know, at some point they each really need to have their own birthday, not just a combined deal. So they started that last year and it's really cute. So they each get a big birthday cake on their day. Somehow they managed to eat them, but it was really cute. So they did have their own birthday and I sent their birthday cards. So they'll have their birthday cards on their birthdays, but then they're going to have their presents when they come here. So I figured I'd have some cupcakes with it and we can have just a little mini birthday party here. But then, you know, aside from their individual cakes and just small family thing for each of them, then they have a big event. And that'll probably land on Maisie's birthday because I think it's Saturday. Last year, the theme was dinosaurs and princesses. And this year, it's Sonic the Hedgehog and princesses. So it's just, you know, an extravaganza always and mass chaos. But I'm really looking forward to them coming here and birthday party. So that will be fun. But happy birthday, Bowden, and happy birthday, Maisie. And I'll see you soon. But I am talking about happy. I'm happy to be with you today and happy that C.A. Brooks is joining me for our June 2025 Meeting of the Minds. As you know, we always have a great discussion and you're invited to be a part of it. So please join us in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. Please feel free to comment or ask questions in the chat. We may or may not have time for readings. We'll see how the conversation goes. But if you would like a reading, you can find both of us on 12listen.com. I'm available every day, usually mid to later morning Pacific, into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, just put in a callback request, schedule a call. I'm notified immediately and will get back to you as soon as I possibly can. This week is a big week on One to Listen. Tomorrow is the full moon. Wednesday is the full moon. Thursday is One to Day, which is our favorite day of the month, followed by Friday the 13th. So we're having reduced rates on calls and chats all 3 days. And on One to Day, we have random reduced prices that change throughout the day for each advisor. All advisors are at random pricing. We're not all the same. And those prices change throughout the day. The system changes it for us. So it's a really fun kind of energy. So those will be random rates on calls and chats with special reduced prices on time-based sessions and other services. So we're looking forward to a fun week. And I will be online all 3 days. I will have a special TBS at a very special price for 1-2 day. The only thing I have to do on 1-2 day is that's somehow it always ends up Grace's hairdo day on 1-2 day. So I'll have to go pick her up from the groomer, but I will be on for the majority of the day with the exception of about 30 minutes somewhere in there. So I would love to talk to you. I would love to talk to you. If you'd like to be notified of our specials, go to 1-2listen.com and sign up for 1-2 promotions. And I just want to thank you again for being here today. I'm speed talking, as you can tell, because I want to talk to CA. But thank you for listening. 1-2 Radio, there's programming 24/7 on 1-2radio.com. And you can find archives of all the shows in the on-demand section at 1-2radio.com. It's just a great source of information, inspiration, and support. And a lot of different passions coming through a lot of different voices. So I encourage you to take advantage. It really is a way for us to support you, and I encourage you to check it out. Or listen to somebody you don't typically listen to. So I just want to say thanks to Serena for producing the show today. And, you know, as you know, I say it every month, I'm always glad to have CA on the show with me for this second Tuesday of the month, usually. Sometimes we have to make it a different day. But if you're unfamiliar with CA, she is a 1-2-listen advisor, clairvoyant astrologer. She's an animal communicator, an avid student of A Course in Miracles, among other things, many other things, Tarot. She writes the weekend section of The Power Peak, Mark Husson's weekly newsletter. She hosts Everyday Astrology here on 1-2 Radio, which immediately precedes Empowerment Live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific. And she has podcasts of her Course in Miracles show available in the on-demand section at 1-2radio.com. Our meeting of the minds I love because it's where we can tell stories and we can just bring everything and anything to the table. You know, my passion is spirituality and mysticism. She loves astrology, tarot, and many different things. We both love feng shui. And everything's welcome. Every single thing is welcome. And we could honestly talk for days if we had the opportunity. So this is always a fun show and typically a pretty lively conversation. So I'll have her join me in just a couple of minutes. But I want to start with a great story that brought up an interesting question that I think will be good food for at least the beginning of our conversation. So I've been craving Italian food. Italian food is probably my very favorite. And not just Italian food, but specifically from a restaurant called Pomodoro. It's my new favorite restaurant. And I absolutely love it. I love everything about it. Not just the food, but I love the place. I love the people, the vibration of it. It's just a wonderful, wonderful place. I grew up in North Denver, which was an Italian and Jewish neighborhood when we moved there in 1962. So there were a lot of great Italian restaurants, a lot of great Italian restaurants. And the food at Pomodoro is like North Denver Italian. So, I mean, it took one time and I've been back, well, about four times since my sister-in-law and I went in March. But they also, they have a great staff. And it's just a comfortable, family-owned neighborhood restaurant. And so it's been on my mind for a couple of days. And it's like, for Pete's sake, you know, I really want to go back and have dinner there. So I sent a text to a friend yesterday morning to see if she wanted to go to dinner on Saturday night. Just asked her if she'd like to go because when I find something I really love, whether it's a restaurant or whatever it is, or the little hanging garden pockets I put out on my courtyard, whatever it is, if I find something that I love, especially a restaurant, I guess, the world has to know. And so, once Susan and I went, then my brother and Susan took me there for my birthday, and I took Scott there. Scott and I went for dinner one night, and then a couple of friends and I went for lunch. So, and everybody loves it. Everybody loves it because number one, the food is fantastic. Number two, the prices are very good. And number three, you get enough for two meals. It's a huge amount of food. So it really does take me back to North Denver. It really does. And that's the fun, probably the most fun part of it for me. But so anyway, I texted my friend Becky to see if she wanted to go, and I didn't hear back from her. But later in the afternoon, my friend Janie sent a text to both Scott and I asking if we could get together for dinner Friday night to celebrate Scott's birthday. So, but it was up to Scott to decide where he wanted to go, and he picked Pomodoro. I was jumping up and down, and happy about that. And then on top of that, I got a text finally from my friend Becky this morning saying she would love to go to dinner there on Saturday night. So I consider that a kiss on both cheeks from God, because that's one place I do not mind eating at two nights in a row. But now this is what the question was. To me, this is just another example of like a circle. I'm just on this circle track, so to speak, recently, just realizing how everything is interrelated and how interdependent we all are. But this is really another example of a circle of just mutual benefit. I wanted to go to Pomodoro, and here come two opportunities to go. One I initiated, the other fell into my lap. So this is not only about going to a great place for dinner, but it's about, for me, going out, being social, being with friends that we all enjoy each other's company. The two of us and the three of us, we all enjoy each other's company. We can talk forever. And two of my friends, Scott's been there, but the two girls have not. And I'm so excited to have them try the food because everybody loves it. So this is kind of an expansive agreement or circle of us being together, enjoying each other's company, and patronizing a wonderful place owned by lovely people. But the question that it brings up is, did my desire create the opportunities, or did the opportunities create my desire? In other words, were they in the works even before they were on my mind because God loves Italian food? Or maybe it all happened at exactly the same time, and it's just one beautiful example of interdependence and love. And on that note, CA, how are you? Welcome. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what my first thought was, and I don't want to be contrary, but what does it matter?
It doesn't matter, but it was
You
just
know,
kind of that
I mean
question.
that was my thought, and maybe just because I tend to be very. Well,
Welcome back.
Kelly, I think, yeah, welcome back. I think that is the ghost in the machine trying to edit
Oh,
or
how
not.
funny.
You know what? I just have to say this, although I want to finish that thought. The synchronicity of life is incredible. And in fact, a few weeks ago, I had read something where somebody was talking about basically the theory of something, and they said the canon. And I thought, I knew what that meant, but I thought, you just don't hear that very often. They don't
No, you
express
don't.
that way. Well, guess what? That week, I heard two more people use that word in the same way.
As in church, right? The canon?
Well, it's the canon in terms of I guess I would say like the story. That's what they're saying. Like the mythology, the story behind this is, and we want to be consistent with what came before. So yeah, it can be the canon in the church, but it's just not something that people say.
No.
And
no, gosh, I haven't heard that forever.
And so when I read it, I thought, okay, that's really cool. That's interesting. And then two more times I heard people actually verbally say it.
Interesting.
And see, that's the synchronicity. That's evolution. But I also just wanted to add this really quick, and I'm not sure what it adds to our conversation, but the fact that we all of a sudden had that tech issue. I had a really interesting thing happen to me this week when I was I was using a reference, a Tarot reference, which is relatively new to me, but this person's point of view is really, I think so evolutionary, so up to date. And it is true that with Tarot, it's been around for hundreds, maybe thousands of years. And so a lot of the thinking about Tarot is very, very dated, and or it's rooted in what I would consider a very patriarchal system. Oh. And so sometimes, that's why actually I like to read lots and lots of books, because I want to know the history of it. But I also, for right now, sometimes you have to get beyond that. And just like anything in life, when people, it's kind of like the founding fathers and owning slaves. Their time period was different than ours. So you can't judge them by our standards, I guess is what I'm saying. So in this new Tarot book I got, I think this woman is just brilliant. And she was making these comments about, these guys, they may have known what they were doing, but come on, wake up and smell the coffee. That's not where we are. We don't want to be misogynist. And she said, I'm having a hard time just getting over some of the denigration of some of the more feminine concepts, in mythology or in the Tarot. So in any case, I wanted to take some notes because I didn't want to have to go back and find that again in the book. So I was literally just dictating it into a document. And I will admit, the part that I was doing, it was to the point. She wasn't pulling any punches. Okay. And all of a sudden, AI on my computer jumped up and edited it out. And I was kind of like, what just happened here? And it was like, Copilot was like, that was inappropriate. We're taking that out.
Oh.
And I was like, number one, I immediately Googled, how do I, disable Copilot? Because you number one, I'm not interested in your opinion. But I'll tell you, Kelly, I was just shocked because collectively AI decided they did not like that paragraph and took it right out of the document. Now, I will also admit I don't ever use AI. And so I'm going to claim user error because maybe there was a point at which when it jumped up and was deleting it, I could have said, no, don't do this. But it was more, I sat there dumb, just going, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
But it literally edited the paragraph right out of the document.
So
I thought about that when we were just talking. I thought, the radio or whatever, programming we're using going, we don't like what CA is saying. We're going to take that off the air.
Beep.
It was just funny. Yeah, it's like, uh-oh.
Let me tell you my example of Copilot, which I don't like either, because Copilot doesn't like the way I write. I write like I talk.
Yes.
And a lot of times I write quotes from people, that wrote in 1920. You know what I mean? And it's always wanting to correct the way they talk and or the way they wrote. And it's like, get the hell out of my way. It just really bothered me. But what was funny is a week ago, I was emailing back and forth with a friend of mine, and she was talking about someone who said something. She's in the process of getting a new puppy. And this is the breeder she was talking to. And she goes, I don't know where the heck that came from. You know, they said this, and I don't know where the heck that came from. And I wrote back, this is literally what I wrote back, CA. I said, well, you know, what they said was kind of nuts. And then I went to say, and I get this flag up saying, do you need to change the tone of what you just said? Kind of nuts? Like, what the heck offensive is that? You know, I didn't curse. I didn't, you know, I think that's kind of nuts. And that had a tone, according to Copilot.
Well, and you know what? I mean, I don't want to have this continuing fight with artificial intelligence. I mean, I understand that it can be useful, but these are the very applications that I don't want. And I mean, I'm with you because Copilot continually tries to change when I'm writing my articles or even notes to people. And it's the same thing. They want my voice. I think if they wanted artificial intelligence, they wouldn't have been calling me on When to Listen.
Exactly.
Right? They want my take on the situation or in the Power Peak when I'm writing my article. No, Copilot, I don't want you rewriting this.
Right.
And so, you know, I didn't spend enough time because I don't want to disable it completely, like take it out of the computer. And it was, I'll tell you what, they don't make it easy to just turn it off. There is no like,
They say there is
because I Googled multiple sites and they go, oh, just switch it off. And it's like, there is no off, not in mine. Mm-mm. And so I don't want to permanently disable it, but you know, if you are going to start messing with my writing and literally take things out, and I couldn't figure out how to get it back in other than just typing it back in.
Yeah.
And I just thought, okay, that's going too far. It's just going too far.
It is. We're being muted, you know, and that doesn't work for me. And like I said, I write like I talk. It's not, sometimes it's not terribly eloquent, but it's me. You know, it's
and
my voice.
That's what you want. I mean,
exactly.
It's exactly what you want. And now that you say it, that's so true too, because I use quotes all the time. Mm-hmm. And many of them are very, very old, especially if I'm going for, you know, somebody who had Pluto in Aquarius. I mean, those people were 250 years ago, you know? And it's like, but AI, no, thank you. Get out of my writing.
I agree. Yeah.
It's just really something. And so the minute all of a sudden Serena came on and told us we were no longer on, I thought, better be careful here, CA, you know?
I don't like the word synchronicity. What's the deal?
Yeah, synchronicity. We're getting monitored. Yes. But I guess back to the topic. Yeah, I think there is just synchronicity everywhere.
I do too.
And part of it is just that expectation that it is. It's also the expectation, and I'm going to pull this into astrology a little bit. Jupiter just moved into Cancer, and it moved there yesterday afternoon. And Jupiter only changes signs once a year, so it's going to be there for 12 months until about the 29th of June next year. And but it just brings in a whole different energy, and it's the energy of benefit. And expansion and luck and growth. So how do we grow with Jupiter in Cancer? And just really looking at those kind of things. And so what happened to me, and I wrote this in the Power Peak, but I thought it was pretty funny, but it is synchronicity and yet maybe not. I mean, it's just the way it feels. But my main point here really, and I'll give you the example, but my main point is simply that we make our own luck. But also, I think Jupiter is always the opportunity to redefine what luck means. And this is the example. I am studying Italian. By the way, it was funny you were talking about Italian food. I'm studying Italian using an app on my phone. And I think I've told you that before. I love doing it because I can just grab a few minutes, you know, when Tucker's out in the yard and running around and you don't have to make a big commitment. And so you know, there's different things that come up in terms of the way they do it. Sometimes you speak, sometimes they ask you a question, sometimes they ask you to translate. So the question was, translate good luck into Italian. So I'm kind of picking at words because here again, they hadn't told me before how to say that. So you're having to kind of guess based on what you do know. So I put together buona fortuna, you know, because buona is good and fortuna is fortune. Well, it comes back and it goes, nah, you know, it makes that little sound that says you're wrong, which kind of surprises me because that's not really wrong.
Like you're in a game show?
it makes that little sound and it says, no, it's supposed to be in bocca al lupo. Well, there again, I know enough to know in bocca al lupo means in the mouth of the wolf. And Kelly, I'm like, okay, if I said to you, okay, in the mouth of the wolf, would you say, okay, thanks, CA? And so I'm like, oh my God, this app is malfunctioning. I mean, that was just like, you know, that was something weird. But then I thought, no, back up a little bit, back up. And so I Googled it. And believe it or not, when I Googled it and I said, how do you say good luck in Italian? In bocca al lupo was the second thing that came up.
Interesting.
And I guess I didn't read all of it, but I think what it had to do with is it's just one of those idioms that is considered very good luck if you escape from the mouth of the wolf. It's so, you know, it's just something that is in their culture. To escape from the mouth of the wolf is very good luck. So people say in bocca al lupo, you know, and they also say in culo alla balena, which means in a similar thing, you know, because it's the whale's bottom or something. So if you can escape from the whale like Jonah, then that's good luck. But it's so the timing of it, the synchronicity of this was so perfect because I thought, see, this is it. We have to decide with Jupiter. What is lucky and what's not? Because how often does something happen to us that we go, oh my God, what a tragedy. This is so horrible. And then a few days later, we go, oh man, that was lucky. I mean, I met that new doctor at the hospital or, you know, whatever it is, it turns out that we did escape the mouth of the wolf. It may not have been the way we wanted something to happen, but in truth, it was for expansion and growth and benefit, and it turned out to be pretty darn lucky. And so I think so often when we get into what I consider just like, you know, little tiny, you know, descriptive phrases about the planets and about the signs, and we just say, oh, Jupiter's lucky. Well, and then somebody has Jupiter someplace in their chart and they go, well, that wasn't very damn lucky, CA. You know what I mean? And I'm like, you know what? Let's just take a different angle. Let's in this particular cycle, let's take that opportunity to say, what is luck? What is benefit? And it's been so interesting since I've been asking myself that question, some of the things that have happened and some of the messages that are coming through so strongly for me. And this may be only for me, but it's about you make your own
Probably luck. Not.
Well, okay. You make your own luck and you work hard. And in fact, it's funny because I've been looking at all these people who have Gemini and Cancer looking for good quotes. And I can't believe how many of them are basically saying, work hard and then you're lucky. You know, luck doesn't happen to you. You go find it. You work hard. You know, you think you're lucky, but this wasn't luck. I worked hard to get this lucky.
Yeah. Oh, I've got to say something really.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I've been talking a lot. So you
go. No. But it's a comment on what you just said. Work hard and you'll be lucky. I have a cap, a beer cap off of a Coors original bottle. And I have it in a little container in my bar. And on the inside, the quote is, good luck is the residue of hard work. Isn't that funny?
Yes, it is.
Just really funny based on what you just said. That's all I just wanted
And there somebody else could say, oh, well, I'm getting messages like blah, blah, blah. But for me, all week long, I've been getting these messages through the tarot, through, you know, people talking, hearing things on TV. And it's almost always like, well, work hard. And that's how you make your luck. You know, if you're just sitting at home with the door closed. I mean, it's that same old thing. You think somebody's going to come knocking at your door? Sometimes right. they do. Sometimes they do.
Right.
But not usually. And Cancer, Jupiter in Cancer, as Mo was pointing out on my show, Cancer is the Chariot card in the tarot. Mm. And a chariot isn't just sitting in the garage. You know, I mean, the chariot is off and running and moving. But it's the idea you're not going to get any place if you're not going to get in the driver's seat and you're not going to make a plan and you're not going to go. And, you know, controlling resources. I mean, it's just full of incredible information to even just look at the chariot card. But wow. it's not saying, oh, yeah, just go out and meditate on a star and it's going to come to you. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But Jupiter in Cancer, if you're looking at the chariot, you're talking about being industrious, right. making some choices, making some decisions, and there again, pulling together your resources, you yeah. know, planning this trip. I mean, you get the chariot is always those two horses pulling very hard and possibly in two different directions. So okay. is it your rational mind versus your intuition? Is it... Hmm. You know, is it work versus home? You know, so many dualities in our lives. And how do we pull those together to go in the direction that we want? Because that's what it is. Can you control the two horses? Can you hold those reins and do what it takes, not to make them equal, but to make them work collaboratively and cooperatively together?
Cool.
Yeah. So. All kinds of really good stuff happening for us this week. But here again, I'm going to bring that back to, but if you're not expecting it, if you're not open, you know, if you're just saying, I know everything there is to know, I'm crossing my arms over my chest and I'm just going to sit here, you're not going to be one of those people who says, oh my God, look at the synchronicity in life.
Oh no, action always precedes demonstration, you know. That's it. That's a law. that's like a universal law. And unless you get back in direct proportion to what you put out. Mm-hmm. And so being out, being in life, giving in some way, you know, just moving is attracts, you know, because mm-hmm. What you vibrate at, what your vibration is what you're going to bring back to you. And if your vibration is approve me one, you know, prove it. I'll mm-hmm. sit here with my arms crossed and you prove to me that this is what's going to happen. Then nothing is, you know, yeah. nothing is, but, yeah. But yeah, you gotta be, you gotta jump in. You gotta contribute. You gotta
be expecting. Well, and if it's nothing more than I'm going to be open, I'm just going to yeah. be open. That's it. It doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be, oh my God, I've got to spend 10 hours studying, you know, the chariot card, or I've got to, you know, spend 10 hours reading this spiritual thing. It's like, can you just say, I'm going to be open. I'm going to be expectant. And every lesson that comes to me, I'm going to get something really valuable from it. Mm-hmm. Every single moment, I'm just going to take I'm going to squeeze the value out of whatever's here for me.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I feel like, you know, here again, I would blame it on my astrology chart. I just want to work really hard, you know, to get mm-hmm. something. And you know mm-hmm. what? You don't always have to work so hard, even though I know I just said you have to work to make your luck. But the point is, it doesn't have to be painful.
No.
Because there again, and you know this as a painter, you know, you and I both do this. I mean, I get lost in my tarot. I get lost in my astrology. I get mm-hmm. lost in my watercolors. It's like hours can go by. It's the mm-hmm. same kind of thing. Work that we love or work that is meaningful to us has a whole different feel than the stress of trying to work hard at something to make yes. something happen. So yes. we're working hard, but we're doing it because we're compelled and we desire it and we love it.
And we're in our bliss. I mean, that's yes. our bliss. We're lost yes. in it. And I totally agree. And that's when you're so there. You know, I mean, you're really mm-hmm. in the present moment when you're there, when you're doing something that you absolutely love. And then you see, when you're finished with it, you see some sort of, you see a result. And then, you know, you have that reward. But no, I agree. But working hard for the sake of working hard, this was kind of like my old thing I talked about in doing my garden. You know, when I finally got my senses about me and decided I would spend an hour and a half to 2 hours every morning and no more outside, and then come in, get ready and do whatever, you know, be online and do whatever I needed to do inside, it became very harmonious. And and I loved doing the work out there, even pulling weeds. I loved that. But giving myself the time frame, it's like, okay, right now you're finished. The weeds will be here tomorrow when you come back out here. But right now you're complete. So put the tools away, go inside. And it was just brilliant. I mean, that was inspired, because usually in the past, I just go and, you know, muscle my way through it. And it lost its joyfulness. You know, I lost the joy of it in doing that. Because when you're working hard, for the sake of working hard, you're really struggling. And struggling just makes more struggle. You know, it's not pleasant. It doesn't feed you. You're doing it, and then you can say, ah, good job. You know, you did that. Because I'm the same way you are. It's just get it done, get it all done, get it done right.
Yes. Push, push, push. Yes.
Two peas in a pod there, CA.
Yeah.
I can tell you. Well, yeah. I want to mention something this morning and see what you, just get your take on this, because it was talking about, I don't know if you'd call it synchronicity, but Grace and I went out for a walk this morning, as we always do. And sometimes interesting things happen on our walks. And this morning we're walking and we get about a block, we're on Iowa, right? And we're heading west. Mm-hmm. And about two blocks ahead of us, I see this young woman standing on the corner, and she'd come south on Flamingo to Iowa. And she's standing on the corner, and I can see that she has a leash, but I can't see what's on the other end of the leash. And she's just standing there, and she's standing there, and she's standing there, you know, until we get closer. And I see this furry, furry, black and brown head of this cute dog. And I said, is that a baby? And she said, yes, he is. And this walking thing is brand new, and we're just kind of having a time of it.
You know? Yeah.
Because he was sitting. She's standing there waiting for him to come to the corner and keep going. And he was just sitting there. But when we got close enough that I could see him and he could see me, and then he saw Gracie, then, you know, he came running up to us, and he was the cutest thing, CA. Just this big ball of fur. He's going to be a big boy. But he had sort of a German Shepherd face, but he was black and a little bit of brown in his face, and just a literal furball. I mean, just furry, furry. So he came up to me and let me pet him, and I was petting him, and then he's wanted to get Grace, and Grace is fine. She'll drop her stick for 2 minutes to say hello, but then she wants to be on with her walk, you know, because that's the purpose of that time.
Yeah.
And he's doing the puppy thing, you know, the big paw, you know, slapping at her with his paws. And it was so sweet to see him. And I said, what's his name? And she said, Odysseus.
Oh my gosh. Did you ask her about why she named him that?
No, I didn't ask her why. I said, are you going to call him Odie? And she goes, either Odie or Oddball. One of the two.
Well, hopefully not Oddball.
I said, that's okay. I call Grace something different every time I look at her. You know, I mean, I have all these little nicknames for her that, and she comes when I call her. But he was so cute. He was so cute. And the other thing that was very interesting to me is I told her it was nice to meet her, and she said, can she say hi? And I said, oh, she lives for that. And she doesn't have that many opportunities to say hi to other dogs these days. like it used to be, you know, you just went up and talked to everybody. Mm-hmm. But I said, oh yeah, absolutely. And so when we were getting on with our walk, I said, yep, she's determined. She wants to get going. And I said, my name's Kelly, by the way. And she said, my name's Lillian. And we shook hands. And I said, it was really nice to meet you and Odysseus. And what was interesting is last week, I got a new pair of glasses. And I took a lift to and from the place. And the woman who brought me back was named Lillian.
Ah.
Now, how often do you hear that name? I love that name.
Not very often.
But isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Then the other interesting thing that happened on our walk this morning is we're walking down Mexico and getting to Glencoe where we head home. And I look on the ground and there's a playing card and it was an eight of spades. Just one playing card laying on the street. And I just thought that was odd. You know, it's like, interesting.
Well,
it's a good number.
Have you not ever seen a playing card on the ground?
Not just by itself.
Well, the reason I ask so. Is because I'm not going to say it's common, but it happens a lot.
Oh,
and
but you live in Vegas.
No, I actually haven't found one in here in Vegas.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, but I've heard people talk about it. Like they collect them.
Really?
And I always wondered, well, do people just go around dropping them? Or why is it that there are playing cards on the ground? But yeah.
I have never heard of that. No, I've never seen
one. I'm not going to say it's a phenomena, but yeah, people drop them on the ground or somehow they appear. Well, and that's interesting because if you relate it to the Tarot, that's the Eight of Swords.
That's why I wanted it. Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. And the Eight of Swords is... Well, you did say it was spades, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's swords in Tarot, I'm sure.
That makes sense.
Anyway, but the Eight of Swords is a wonderful card because it's a card that basically says you're making things so much tougher than they need to be.
Oh, funny.
You know, that you're seeing problems and seeing issues when there aren't any, or they're all by your making. So wake up and smell the coffee, and this doesn't have to be so difficult.
How funny.
You know, so it's it's a really nice message if you want to take it that way, but you could also take it other ways as well. But to me, that's the main message is usually that's a card where somebody's all bound up. You know, they're all bound up. And oftentimes, once again, by your thoughts, you know, and you're bound up, you can't see. But if you really look at the card, usually it's depicted. The person has a blindfold, but it's not really, it's kind of slipping off.
Oh,
and their hands might be tied, but the ropes really aren't knotted. And so everything that they think is binding them up, all they have to do is open their eyes and walk away.
Wow.
Yes.
How cool. Well, that
is
a blessing.
Yeah, cool. So it's a powerful card that way. And of course we all get into that place. You know, what about this? And it's like, well, so what? You know, or really? You know, that we could just walk away from it. Why do you have to do that? Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm talking about. We all do it.
Oh,
I
absolutely
just
know
like
what
you
you're
said,
talking about.
You know, with the garden. Well, I have to do this and I just have to push through. And somebody would come along and go, why? Why do you have to push through? What's gonna happen? What happens if you just do it for 2 hours a day?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
You realize we are the ones that are blinding ourselves or tying ourselves up into knots for really I'm not going to say no good reason, because there's obviously something to learn. But part of what the learning is you don't have to tie yourself up into knots.
Right.
And you know, the thing I notice sometimes is with scheduling, because it's like, okay, I'm going to do this and this and this and this. And I want also to be very, as much as possible, to be responsive to clients' requests for scheduled calls. But sometimes I'm always trying to squeeze something extra in. And then it becomes, okay, well, can you really get dinner done? And can you really do this? And can you really do that? And then I stop and go, do you have to cook that today? You know, you put that on the agenda, but can that not happen tomorrow? And so often I almost laugh because it's like, oh yeah, I don't have to squeeze that in. And You know, I mean, I do need to ask myself, what are the consequences if I don't? But I mean, this is an example. I make a lot of Tucker's food. Oh. And so I boil chicken, and usually like 4 skinless chicken breasts. I boil them, and I also then, you know, with the water that's left over, I make rice. And so, and then I package all this up and put it in the freezer, and then, you know, bring it out, and he eats it for about a week and a half or whatever. And so I always like to have it on hand. But, you know, that is an effort. I mean, sometimes it is, you know, did I get the chicken out of the freezer, or do I have fresh chicken, or how long is it going to take? And, you know, if my next call is in 30 minutes, I don't want something on the stove while I'm doing this, right?
Right, right.
And so I get all caught up and I go, you know what? He can eat a scrambled egg.
Yeah, exactly.
He loves scrambled eggs.
Oh, Grace and too.
So it's sort of like, just make him a scrambled egg. You know, and give him his veggies, because then he eats, you know, pumpkin or carrots or greens or whatever. And I'm just like, this doesn't have to be so tough. You don't have to get all wound up. Just, you know, do the chicken later, or do the chicken tomorrow, and give him a scrambled egg, which he would eat every single time. And, you know, it's a good example, because then all of a sudden it's just like something is totally lifted off my shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, whoa, why, you know, you don't need to do this. It's okay. And, you know, and then to leave the stress for the big stuff, you know. We don't need to stress ourselves out over things that we're putting them, we're using the blindfold and the handcuffs or whatever.
Right, right. Yeah. And I know that space so well. It's like, okay, I've got this much time and I can do this. I can do this because I have a lot of time. And then you do, and then I do it, and then I go, oh my gosh, it's time to do that.
Yeah. So
where did it go? So where did the time go? And then you're scrambling. Then you are stressed.
I will be eager to find out what your next card is, because I think you'll find one.
Oh,
I think you will find one. In fact, it's also making me wonder now. I know at one time I had several, but I don't know what I've done with them.
Well, for some reason, I didn't feel compelled to pick it up.
Didn't pick it up? Okay.
Nope. I just left it for the next person.
That's a good thing too.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
I didn't feel
too.
Like I should pick it up, but it was just funny. Yeah. And no, I've never seen a playing card on the ground unless there would, you know, to me, there should logically be somebody dropped a deck of cards, not just a card.
And now that you say it, I can't believe I've never found one in Vegas. That's where you ought to find playing cards, right?
Yeah, to be everywhere.
How funny. Well, that also makes me eager to see what is the next thing I will find on the ground.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just so interesting.
Yeah, the one thing people do in this neighborhood, and I know they do, I mean, I know people did it in Denver too, is they paint rocks.
Yeah.
And they either put little messages on them, or they just make them look like little bumblebees or, you know, grasshoppers or something, and they just leave them everywhere.
Ah, I see.
Which I think is cute
yards.
Too.
Oh, yeah.
These people leave them around and they move them. And I always wonder, who's moving them around and who paints them? But I don't know. But at least in this neighborhood, you just see them.
Well, that's
from
kind
time
of cool.
Time. It is very cool.
It's kind of like a little hello.
Yeah. Yes.
Or it's being a community. That's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. It is. I'll be darned.
Well, and what's kind of odd about it to me is in Denver, when I'd find them, it made more sense because I'm sure, I mean, I lived in a neighborhood with lots of kids. And I'm sure if this was a little game the kids would play of hiding the rocks or picking up the rocks and moving the rocks. But the neighborhood I live in is a senior community. So it could be grandchildren, or it could just be youthful people.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. That's it. Because I've seen them in houses where they have little kids. And now there's a rock that's like gone crazy, a big rock on the corner of Mexico and Glencoe. And I know that there are little girls that live in the house because they have this whole little fairy thing going on this rock. And it goes all year long. They have all these little toys.
That is so wonderful.
They put little tiny flags out, you know, like spring flags and winter and that. And now I think maybe they've kind of, maybe they're getting older and have lost interest because it's just kind of helter skelter. But it used to be really set up and people just walked by and left it. I don't think anybody ever took that. And it is right on the sidewalk.
The corner.
Yeah. But it's just, that's, it's wonderful. Just happy. It's just happy. Every time I walk by it, I smile. You know? Yes. It's just cute.
Yes.
A bunch of little bitty things on a rock. That's just funny.
Well, Kelly, thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, I'm so glad you were here. That was a fun conversation. I really enjoyed it. So tomorrow's 1-2 day. No, it's not. Tomorrow's full moon. Thursday's 1-2 day. What do you have going on?
Well, I plan to be available all day Thursday. Tomorrow, I already have a lot of appointments scheduled, which does limit. I still have some flexibility in the afternoon. But in any case, you know, when I have scheduled appointments, then, you know, basically, sometimes I actually show as on the site and sometimes I don't, depending on, you know, if I've turned the buttons correctly. But I do plan on being available tomorrow afternoon and all day Thursday and as much of Friday too as I can be. But I do encourage people to make appointments if they want to make sure that we can connect, because I do tend to work a lot with appointments.
Yeah. Yeah. Good idea. Well, like I said, it's been great having you here. I'm Kelly Whetstone. You've been listening to Empowerment. My special guest today was C.A. Brooks. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. And I just invite you to, number one, have a very blessed week. And number two, stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Bye-bye, everyone.